Finding joy in relationships. And this comes from Philippians 2, verse 1 through 5. God created us to live in relationships with Him and other people. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, maintaining relationships have been a major struggle between man and man and God. A huge cause of joyless living finds its roots in strained relationships. People struggle daily to live in a world where there is no conflict. How do you handle conflict? Are you one of those that blows up so big that nobody wants to talk to you and they stay away from you? Or are you one that just kind of ignores them, figure they'll go away sooner or later? Or are you the one that gets in there and tries to negotiate, find a common ground in your conflicts? How do you strive for unity? Are you the one that's trying to bring people together of two different opinions to find a common ground? Unity is the key ingredient for success and fulfillment in life. To have a successful business, the employees must get along together and work together. Too often out there, we find those that are not about to share their knowledge with others. If I tell you what I know, then I won't be important. Well, that's contrary to the fact. It takes a whole team sometimes to make a business function. To have a successful football team, the players must work together. How would the Super Bowl go if one of the guys supposed to be blocking says, the guy carrying the ball, you're getting the big bucks, you make it to the other end. If they're on my side of the field, I'm going to block, but I'm not crossing the center line, no. Probably won't have any winners that way. To have a successful government, the Congress and President must cooperate. Ooh, a little sensitive here. The President's address to the Congress last week, half of the group looked like a bunch of third graders pouting because their mothers made them dress up and sit still for an hour with no treats afterwards. Of course, this is not the only administration this has happened in, so we certainly need to have these people remember that the preamble to our Constitution says, we the people, not I, the politician, the congressman, whatever. It's about we the people in order to get some cooperation. To have a successful family, the members must work together. Oh, this doesn't mean mom does all the cooking, cleaning, and laundry. And dad doesn't do all the painting and the shoveling and whatever else around. There's a commercial out there that really gets my attention. This calorically enhanced little fella sitting in front of a computer drinking his grape soda, one hand on the computer, the other on the telephone. And they give you the scene of grandmother standing in the kitchen doing what she's doing, and the phone starts ringing, and she takes her walker, and she starts pressing on towards the telephone. And she gets to the telephone and gives her greetings with hello. And on the other end, this little guy saying, hey, Grandma, how about another grape soda? Well, Grandma has this disturbed look on her face. Well, it's not so much about the commercial advertising getting these young people to get more exercise. I mean, for me, it's, this is why our society is failing. Of course, I wanted this commercial to go on a little further where Grandma would come around the corner and grab him by the ear and drag him off to the refrigerator, but that didn't happen. But so much of our youth, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa do so much for them that they don't know how to do anything in the world. So when they do get into a relationship, they're looking for somebody else to do everything for them. So the family takes a lot of cooperation, a lot of people making decisions, looking for the same goal. And to have a successful church, we must work together. There was a time that this church had its disputes. People were not working together. They all had their own little agenda. Fortunately, we got it back together, and it seems like most of us are working together, searching for that common goal. Very little is accomplished in life by yourself. and very little is accomplished without cooperation. When there is unity, there is tremendous power and potential. The problem is people don't always get along. They don't always cooperate. If it wasn't for people, everything would be easy. How do you strive for unity? How do you reduce conflict and increase cooperation? In Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about how to have unity and cooperation with others. Follow along as we read. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from this love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not only to your own... Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we are to have unity in Christ. We are supposed to get along with one another. There ought to be fellowship among us. Paul says we are to be like-minded. We are to show the love to one another because Christ has loved us. We are to display mercy and grace because that is what God has shown us. We are to put on the mind of Christ, and if we did that, we will be like-minded in unity and harmony. Unfortunately, unity and harmony does not happen very often. Paul gives us 5 practical steps in finding joy through reduced conflict. First one is stop competing for personal gain. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. The Message Bible translates this way. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourselves aside and help others get ahead. All too often we compete with people who are supposed to be on our team. What type of team will ever win if they are busy competing with one another? Rather than working together, stop fighting one another. There's an interesting passage of Scripture found in 1 Thessalonians 4. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of others, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. What are the ambitions in your life? What drives you? Are your ambitions causing conflict? Look at what James says about the subject. This is from James 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? Our society teaches us instant gratification. When my needs and ambitions conflict with your needs and ambitions, we have trouble. We live in a very competitive world, and if you want to have unity, you need to check your ambitions that are selfish. The second step in reducing conflict with people is to stop promoting yourself. This would be vain conceit. How many of you like conceited people? Not many of us. Pride has an effect on us all. We should not do things just to show off our ego, An egotist is an eye specialist. His eyes are too close together. I this, I that. He is full of himself. When this happens, there is very little room for anyone else, including God. Kind of makes you think of the self-made man, not thinking that anybody else helped them get to where they're at. All he can see is himself. Self-centered pride and arrogance is the result of the conceit. The Bible says, pride goes before destruction. The person who gets too big for their britches will eventually be exposed in the end. Thank you. Arrogance leads to nothing but strife. This is found in Proverbs 13:10. The first cause of conflict is competing ambitions. Second cause of conflict is personal pride. When I've got an ego and refuse to admit it, when I'm wrong and there is bound to be quarrels. If you could eliminate conceit, you would solve most of people's problems in today's world. The third item is learn to focus on others. The Holman Bible says it this way. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility. Consider others as more important than yourself. Paul says, don't put people down, lift them up. How do you do that? I remember back in high school, had the social climbers that were always big on putting people down just to make themselves look good. A lot of people suffered from their arrogance and ego. By treating them better than you would yourself, this is a radical concept. Treat others better than yourself. Yes, that is what the Bible teaches. It is the exact opposite of what our culture teaches. The world is full of people who think they are better than anybody else. We have elevated our selfishness to an art form, a quality characteristic. Paul tells us, decrease criticism when you're criticized. You're thinking that you're better than the other people. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. You are people-centered rather than self-centered. We like to criticize and pick out faults of others because it makes us feel superior. We think we build ourselves up by putting other people down. But the Bible teaches the exact opposite. If you want to decrease conflict in your life, decrease criticism. Increase your humility. Treat others better than you would yourself. Now, the third cause of conflict is when I fail to value other people and when I treat them with less respect than they deserve. The fourth step in reducing conflict with other people is to learn to care for others. Let's now look at verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. The passage, the Message Bible says it this way. Do not be obsessed by getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Don't just be interested in what is going on in your life, but be interested in the lives of other people. Look out for them. The Greek word for look is where we get the word scope, like the scope on a rifle, a telescope, a microscope. Each of these help us to see things better. Care about the lives of other people. Pay attention to their needs. Demonstrate consideration to others. Be considerate of each other. Watch out for one another. Take care of one another. Nothing I'm saying is new, but doing it is harder than it is to say it. The one thing that came to mind there was some time ago, I don't recall exactly where I seen this, but there was a bunch of young officer candidates at a military academy. I don't remember which academy it was. But these young fellows were full of themselves. And there was a custodian there, basically had no name to them. And so they were basically slobs. They did not police up the area after themselves, always depending on somebody else to do this for them. One day it came to light who this fellow was. He was a World War II veteran. He'd been wounded many times, which kind of led to the crippling of that he was suffering at that time. He had many purple hearts, and his decorations were great, greater than what these young people could understand. Once it was brought to light, he was no longer just a custodian. He had a name. He had a part in their lives. They gave him respect. Too often we think of somebody as having a lesser job. I'm much better than them, we think. So in our daily lives, we should not just think of people as such a lowly job they're accomplishing. They're accomplishing a job for a particular reason, a need that needs to be met. Now we are to use Jesus as our example. This is the fifth thing that stated. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus is our model. Jesus is our example. If you want to know how to get along with people, even those who are hard to get along with, look at the example of Jesus. We are to put it on the mind of Christ and develop the same attitude toward others that he had. What is this mind? What is his attitude? It is found in our verses. We're to have an obedient attitude. But Jesus said in John 6:38, I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So this is the attitude of obedience. Do what you're asked to do. Within this church, within your community. You're supposed to have a servant's attitude. Matthew 20, verse 26. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. So don't be afraid to be a servant, to do the lowly things for other people. And then there's a sacrificial attitude. We recognize the sacrifices made for us that Jesus had made. He freely went forward and sacrificed himself for our sinful nature. Not saying you have to go be hung on a cross, but put yourself forward to sacrifice your time and your energy for somebody else that may have a strong need. It is impossible to live a lifestyle of unselfishness on your own. It is human nature to be selfish. To only look out for number one. We all have the nature to do that. do what we want to do. We are selfish through and through. But Christ wants us to live differently than that. He wants us to develop a Christ-like characteristic. He wants us to become like he is, and he asks us to. Let this attitude be in you. That is in Christ. Allow Christ to control your attitude and form one singular attitude. Allow Christ to take control of your mind. Submit to Him. Follow Him. Give yourself to Him today. Now, I have difficulty reading things and retaining it, so I like examples to remind me of what's supposed to be going on. Last week we had the Lord's Supper. This reminds us of the sacrifices made for us. Well, I'd like to think about the ambassadors of goodwill that fill a lot of our lives, our dog. Now, these fuzzy, flop-eared varmints, when you come home at the end of the day, are they standing there at the doorway growling, wanting to bite you? No, they're dancing around with great joy, glad to see you. They may have had a tough day too, sitting out on the porch in the weather, guarding the porch from the mailman and the UPS guy. And when they get in trouble, do they go off and pout for hours? No. Within minutes, they're trying to come back to you to renew this relationship. So when you have a conflict with somebody in your family or work, do not go off and pout for a long period of time. Return quickly, you know. Try to make things anew. Now, my current dog, Gizmo, he likes to guard the porch. The mailman and the UPS guy were afraid to come to the porch, so they would drop the package on the porch. Well, he didn't know how to read very well, and he'd get into these packages. None of them had his name on it. So he'd get in trouble. You know, and as soon as you're done yelling at him and everything else, he's coming back. He wants to be, you know, let's make this new again. You're my pal. So look to the world around you for the examples that will help you maintain a solid relationship with your family, your friends, your co-workers. Make it a better place. Thank you.